This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to visit with Michael Fresina. We're going to talk to Michael about three or four different issues: silver linings from the pandemic, what three things he's learned from this, a couple pieces of advice for leaders. We'll try and keep this moving along to 10, 12 minutes, three to four questions. Michael, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Sure, Scott. Thank you so much. Really appreciate the opportunity of being with you. Well, I am Michael Fresina, and first off, I'm a retired Army officer with the United States Army Medical Department. Served multiple assignments, including a teaching assignment at West Point and the medical school at Bethesda. Transitioned to 14 years of civilian healthcare administration and operations, and then the last 10 years of my life as founder and senior research scholar with my own teaching and leadership consortium with faculty affiliations with the American College of Healthcare Executives and the American Hospital Association, and the chair of the MHA program for American Public University.
Thank you so much. And Michael, in about 60, 90 seconds, what silver linings in this pandemic? Any silver linings?
Scott, I think if anything, we get a chance to rethink how we're going to deliver healthcare in our country and the balance that's required there. Certainly the aspects of the pandemic itself and the distancing that's occurred has opened up an opportunity to relook the functionality and the efficacy of telemedicine, keeping people at home, having been able to be cared for through virtual space. It has great opportunity there, and I think we're seeing some good benefits from that. So I look at how we're going to practice healthcare in the future moving forward, knowing that it's going to continue to be disruptive, knowing that there's always going to be a degree of uncertainty. And the other element of it is the focus that has reemerged on care providers themselves, caring for care providers, the tremendous amount of stress, the physical threat, that our frontline care providers have endured is something that's not going to go away. And so the renewed emphasis on caring for them, I think, is a great benefit of what we've experienced so far.
And I think those are two great thoughts, both the reemergence or the really sort of the penetration of telehealth and the caring for our healthcare workers on healthcare workforce. A second question for you. Two things you've learned from this pandemic. Anything that you've learned, two lessons.
The two that would come to mind immediately is a sense of reconnecting to self. There's an awareness in any tragedy or high level event, there's an opportunity for personal reflection and people being able to ask fundamentally, you know, am I living to work or am I working to live? People are looking to realign their behavior and what they're thinking to values. And many are starting to sense that life could be less hectic, life could be less stressful, life could be more fulfilling. And the second one that dovetails with this is the idea of perspective and gratitude. There's a wonderful story of this young Army Sergeant, Johnny Jones, who lost both of his legs in a deployment. He's frequently asked by people in his speaking engagements, how do you stay so positive having lost both legs? And his typical response back to them is, how do you stay so negative having both of yours? So this medical studies even themselves, there's this sense that gratitude and a mindset, a growth mindset, as Carolyn Dweck from Stanford has written about a lot, is this idea of growth and development. And so this the idea that life will go on, life will continue, we'll get through this, and life can change for the better. I think giving people an opportunity to get fresh perspective is a great way of helping them connect to gratitude and be thankful for what they have and how their lives change and move forward for the better.
Thank you. And Michael, that notion of being able to reflect, that gratitude, that perspective that people can come out of this with, so helpful. You work with and teach a lot of leaders. You're one of the most centered, nicest, smartest people that I know. What are a couple pieces of advice you have for leaders in this time? Any advice you have for leaders?
Sure, and I'm going to share what I typically share as part of our coaching and growth and development engagements that we do with leaders. The first is, as a leader, you've got to take care of yourself well. You can't give somebody a drink out of an empty cup. And if you expend yourself, if you expend your physical, mental, emotional energy, if you're not getting enough sleep, if you're not eating properly, if you're not exercising properly, if you're not putting your body in a position to advocate for your leadership effectiveness, then it's going to work against you. So proper sleeping habits and avoiding sleep disruption, staying consistent as you can with proper sleep, proper diet, proper exercise, all of that is going to enhance your ability to work against the physical and emotional demands of your position. And you're going to have more effective problem solving. You're going to have clarity in decision. You're going to manifest a great degree of unity and cohesion among your team, and you're going to just perform at a higher level. The other two things go hand in hand with that is understanding what leader responsibility really is. And there's really only one fundamental leadership responsibility. When leaders look at their roles, what they're supposed to be doing, they need to be able to manage context and they need to be able to manage relationships. And it seems very clear that senior leaders have a penchant for one or the other. Some folks are really good at managing the context, the technical element, the material element, the physical process, protocol, task element of their work. And some are really great at developing and maintaining relationships, and they get performance through the power of those relationships. The thing is, it's not an either or. You've got to have both. And so understanding that they need to take care of themselves well and put themselves in the best mental, physical, spiritual, emotional energy state, hopeful themselves. And then if they pay attention to managing the two key elements of their roles, managing context and managing relationships, if they can do those three things, then they're going to become an effective leader. They're going to be a leader who's going to be able to think clearly, execute appropriately, and they're going to manifest a work team of people who are going to want to follow them into levels of higher performance for the outcome of the organization.
Thank you very much. Michael, a final question. You're free to dodge us as you like. A highly sort of sensitive question. Has the government, could the government have done better with this pandemic? Could they have done worse? Would it have made a difference? And you're free to dodge the question if you like.
No, it would be a lack of courage if I did. I had a military assignment in the Washington, D.C. area, and I had an occasion to brief a senator or two on military medicine-related matters. And my experience, and it's just my experience, so folks, please give me grace in just sharing this with you. Government is ill-suited to solve unplanned, really big, unanticipated problems. Bureaucracy functions on a set of rules and policies where you write the rule, life happens, you apply the policy, you apply the rule. But life in general, really important things tend to be unanticipated and unintended. And so government is ill-suited by design to provide solutions and outcomes to things that really matter. Because as the ancient Greek philosopher Aristotle might say, is that you're only designed for the outcomes that you get. You can only get the outcomes by design. I think it's fair to say that some number of Americans have grown increasingly disenchanted with the very institutions of which the majority of the quality of our lives depend. And that's namely would be the legal system, the healthcare system, and the education system. Injustices and inequities abound regardless of which political party seems to be in power. So could they have done better? Possibly. Is this the best government can do? Possibly. I don't know how we answer the question because I don't know how to measure the data output relative to performance of government. So that's how I would answer that question. They're just ill-suited for managing really big issues and creating optimal positive outcomes.
Yeah, no, it seems like so true, and it's a philosophy that in a country of 330 million people, it is hard to believe otherwise, even though a lot of people do. It's just a very complicated set of issues, I think, but just fascinating. Michael, I appreciate you again joining us today. Can you tell people where they could find you and learn more about Michael Forsina?
Sure, I'd be glad to. First, my email is just my name, michael.forsina@gmail.com. That's my personal account. It comes to me directly. Please feel free to email me. I'd encourage you to join me on my networks on LinkedIn and Facebook. I put a lot of thought content out on a weekly basis, got similarly to what you do, and trying to give people information and ideas and stimulate thought. And then I'd love to give you my direct cell number, 803-760-3519. Please text or call anytime. We'd love to have a conversation with you.
Michael, always a pleasure to have you join us. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast, and we're thrilled to have you join us today. Thank you so much.